Curling fans, you've come to the one place with everything you need involving USA Curling and more. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network and hosts Price Atkinson and Joe Calabrese. Get ready for everything you need to know, news, interviews, points of view, and club spotlights. Anything involving USA Curling can be found here. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network. Now, here are Price and Joe.
Episode 20, we have Liftoff, Price Atkinson, and the godfather himself, Joe Calabrese, back after a week off last week. And Joe, I have to apologize to you and all our listeners. Last week kind of got away from me last week with a lot of things going on, still kind of getting my feet on the ground after being gone to Kalamazoo, and especially preparing to get ready to go to Denmark later this week for the Women's World Championships. But going to make it up to everybody. We got Tyler George coming up in this episode and going to bring you a couple episodes while we're over in Denmark for the Women's World Championship, as Team Sinclair will be taking the ice on Saturday night. All those games will be shown on NBC Sports and the Olympic Channel, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. Joe, welcome in. How's it going?
Really good, Price. How you been, man?
I've been good. It's this is a time of the year that challenges me like no other in terms of being a obviously curling, but a huge college basketball fan, because unfortunately my two favorite sports of college basketball and curling, the championship season for both comes pretty much right at the same time. In the month of March, you know, had a birthday last week, had a lot of fun. But you turn the page to this month. The month of March is, to me, the best sports month of the year, because NCAA tournament, you have championship season for, you know, the Women's World Championships, the Men's World Championships. You have all kinds of different championships, you know, in our sport. Bond spiels going on everywhere, the Breyer finish. I mean, this, to me, is the month of all sports months. There's just not enough time in the day for me, Joe, to be real honest. That's what it comes down to.
So I see how you figured it out. You figure you just go to another country, watch the curling, then, you know, you probably have your phone or some sort of tablet device, you watch your basketball that way. I got it figured out, man. That works out pretty well.
It's going to be a problem. And somebody will say, well, you're going to Denmark. How can that be a problem? Well, it's going to be a problem because I got to follow my Kentucky Wildcats while I'm over there. This will be the first time in my 43 years on this earth that I will, and I guess I'll have to technically say miss, you know, the two best days of the year when it comes to sports, and that's the Thursday and Friday of the, I guess, technically the second round of the NCAA basketball tournament. This is going to be new territory. I'm going to be staying up in all hours of the night. It's a six-hour time difference from East Coast time. I'm going to figure it out. VPN connection, I'll have my subscription fired back up. I'm praying there won't be any internet issues. I'm hoping that the master technician himself, Jerry Gertz, will have some kind of high-flying, you know, system, so the internet and the wireless will be anything but shoddy. But I will have a way. I will figure it out. I will be able to watch it. I will be able to take in college basketball, but I just it is going to be uncharted territory for me, Joe. But speaking of territory, you're getting a little territorial too, going north of the border to play what this coming weekend.
Yeah, leaving on Thursday. Me and my team are going to be playing in the Gordon International. We've been playing in this. I think this will be our fifth year playing in this. Not all consecutively. We had 1 year off, but we're real excited. It's a chance for all the GNCC teams to take on teams from north of the border. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last time, if you recall, we talked about this last year on the podcast. It ended in a tie. A 20-game point spiel ended in a tie. So yep. Every rock is the Breyer. That's our new motto. Every rock is the Breyer. So we're gonna be going all out this weekend.
Unbelievable. By the way, and certainly good luck to you guys. I hope y'all have a great time. I do remember talking about, and you telling me about that last year. Real quick, did you see the Breyer? Did you see the conclusion? What would have been last night, Sunday night?
Yeah, it's funny, Price. You know what I did? I watched the first few ends, and it was 2-0 Alberta, and then I decided to watch something else. I think it was Walking Dead. I decided to watch Walking Dead, and I come back, and it's the eighth end, and it's still 2-0. Yeah. And I'm like, what happened? Well, obviously nothing happened between the third and the eighth inning. I guess a lot of good shots that wound up making blank ends possible. But I did watch the conclusion of that, and man, what a heartbreaking loss for Botcher. That draw just slid, you know, about a foot too much. Otherwise, he's going to be Breyer champion, most likely.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it on a couple of the last podcasts. You know, we left North Battleford when after Botcher and them won the last slam, the Canadian Open. I was convinced that's the best men's team in the world. And, you know, they had to go the wild card route to get in. They played great all week. I still can't believe they came back from, what was it, 5 down? They were down 5-0 to Carruthers in Manitoba and rallied to win that game somehow. But then, yeah, getting all the way to the final. And, yeah, Cooey's got to make that. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, it's just incredible with, 13 seconds left. And otherwise, Botcher is heading off to the Men's World Championship in Lethbridge. But Kevin Cooey, a fourth Breyer title in the way the dramatics. I'm with you. It was a largely boring game. I actually flipped away and went and did other things as I was trying to get used to get in bed a little early last night with daylight savings time. But boy, am I glad I stayed up and saw the finish. Absolutely thrilling. So, congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, terrific performance there by Cooey. He goes undefeated through the Breyer. That's something that's pretty difficult to do, for sure. And you know, he's going to be certainly the favorite going into Worlds.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that only four teams have ever done that, gone wire to wire, not tasted defeat one time in the Breyer. And the irony in is that all four of those teams all came from Alberta. That had done it before. So congratulations to Kevin Cooey, but we got to turn the page, Joe. Again, we're going to talk with Tyler George, the new U.S. Curling ambassador, we saw him in Kalamazoo and got to catch up with him a little bit. Going to talk to him a little bit later here, guest interview here in the podcast. But we got a whole lot to get to, and that whole lot is a lot happening around the U.S. So we got our Canadian stuff out of the way real quick, but you know, it's been a little while, or at least a week. We were off last week, so we got to go back to Mixed Doubles Nationals in Seattle. B.A. and Steve were on the scene there, but congratulations to Corey Christensen and John Schuster defeating Vicky Persinger and Christopher Plies in that final. And John and Corey, they are off to the Mixed Doubles Worlds in Norway coming up in May. Congratulations on a great performance all week.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you caught the end of that game, but that was an interesting ending as well. Christensen had put Persinger and Plies in a pretty bad spot. Time was running down. I don't think they had a shot no matter how much time they had left, but Vicky gunned one down there, and it just wasn't to be, and that's what put Schuster and Christensen to the victory.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And give me your thoughts on from BA and Steve out there. A little bit different setup, different experience for the 12th in Sports Network. By all accounts, looked like it was went off without mostly a hitch.
Yeah, you know what was interesting about it was that because of the sort of relaxed schedule of mixed doubles and how games end pretty quickly, Brian had some time off, which was kind of unusual. He went a little sightseeing, and you know, that's something that I never have heard of before in one of our events. So I was a little jealous that he got a chance to get kind of check out Seattle a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty rare, even to be able to go any place outside of to get some food, to go any place outside of hotel to facility. That is unheard of. And, you know, they had a little bit of a, I guess they had a little bit of a water park, unexpected water park time is one thing I saw that BA posted.
That's true.
Give me the lowdown.
Yeah. So apparently, during about a 15-minute period, the power went out in the curling club, and then they were notified that there was a hotel fire. It didn't affect any of our Brian or Steve's rooms, but the sprinklers went off, and I heard that some of the folks at the USCA in some of their rooms may have been a little bit wet. So, kind of an exciting time for about 15, 20 minutes there. We had to delay the start of a game, and, you know, we got back on the air as soon as they had internet. So it was an interesting time. But other than that, it went off without a hitch.
Yeah, well, great job to them. Congratulations again to John and Corey, headed to the World Championship in Norway. But some more things going on around the world of USA Curling, Joe. How about the U.S. College Curling Championship? Our man Gordon McLean, he works secretary of the board of directors for the USCA. He works a lot with the college teams and, you know, helps spearhead that. And over at the Broomstones Curling Club outside of Boston, congratulations to North Dakota State. Just like their one double A, or I get in trouble for saying that, FCS football team, the Bison winning the championship in college football. They win the college curling championship at Broomstone over the weekend with a 6-2 victory over New York Polytechnic Institute.
Yeah, let me give a quick shout out to RIT, who were the winners of Pool C, and they wound up, I think, losing to North Dakota State in the quarterfinals. And then Syracuse University, which is a brand new curling entity, they started 0-3, and then they wound up in the consolation pool and won it all. So real interesting kind of results for the Western New York teams, and I was real proud of both of the results.
Yeah, MIT and Yale, the other two semifinalists that fell by the wayside to New York Polytechnic Institute and North Dakota State. But congratulations to the Bison using a 8-person rotation that I read to win the college national. So, again, congratulations to them. Another over at World Championship, the World Wheelchair Curling Championship over in Stirling, Scotland, Joe. Steve Imp skipping Team USA. And, you know, I had really some of the most impactful interviews I've done that I've enjoyed. That, I mean, frankly, I got emotional is Steve and Megan Leno, who members of our Paralympic Team USA Paralympic team. You know, they were over there on, you know, the Team USA competing at the World Wheelchair Curling Championship in Stirling. And, man, they got off to a really good start. I believe they won their first three games and came out like gangbusters, but then just really fell on hard times and could not get it going as they did not find their way to the podium. But we can say congratulations to China, who won the gold medal, and then Scotland, the silver, and Korea, and the bronze, Joe.
Yeah, it looks like, looking at the U.S. wheelchair results, it looks like they lost three games by 1 point. So that's a tough way to kind of to go down. But they were just two games out of playoff contention. So maybe next time around for USA World Wheelchair.
Yep. So, but congratulations to them. A lot of teams, you know, certainly finishing up their seasons. And we say congratulations, not because you didn't win, but just, you know, the hard work that so many of the teams put in for a long, long season that, you know, really gets longer. This year, it feels like it's gotten longer, so much longer coming out of the Olympics with more and more events starting earlier. But, you know, Joe, we're going to talk about some things here in the closing segment. Club Nationals that are going on right now, the under 18 national championship starting this weekend in Chaska, and then certainly the Women's World Championship in Denmark over in Silkeborg that I'll be making the trip starting Thursday night over across the pond. But Tyler George, new ambassador working for USA Curling in a kind of a dream role is what he told me in Kalamazoo. Can't wait to bring that conversation coming up next. But the Godfather and myself, we will be back here on the Extra Extra Podcast with the 12th in Sports Network, Episode 20. Don't go away. You don't want to miss what we got coming up. All right, here we go, continuing on the Extra Extra Podcast with the 12th in Sports Network. Again, I'm Price Atkinson, and he is Tyler George. And Tyler George, the gold medalist, part of the, obviously, the Team Schuster gold medal winning Olympic team. Boy, the journey, Tyler, for you guys, it just keeps on. But, man, welcome back in. It's great to kind of catch up on kind of this new role you got going. How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. Busy man here. I thought I was busy when we were competing, but it's nothing compared to what we got going on right now.
Well, let's get into that out of the gate, man, because it has been just an incredibly a wild ride. You know, something that I know just, you know, you guys still kind of pinch yourself with everything going on. But, you know, tell everybody, what exactly is your role? Because you're working as an ambassador for USA Curling, going out to different clubs around the country, promoting the game. You know, I know it's, I think it was kind of a dream job is what you had mentioned to me, you know, back in Kalamazoo. Tell our listeners and tell everybody what it is you're doing and kind of some of the roles and stuff you've got going with it.
Yeah, this ambassador role that I've taken on with USA Curling, it's a joint project that Rick Patsky and I created. I pitched it to Rick last fall and got the USCA on board. And basically, they just shipped me around to different areas of the country where we're trying to grow the sport. A lot of arena clubs, just where we see membership expanding and clubs trying to get to dedicated ice especially. But really, any area clubs, you know, if we can get 2-3 in any given trip, it's not just necessarily the smaller clubs. You know, I've done some stuff with with Ardsley up in New York and some different clubs in Connecticut and Pennsylvania too. But really, anybody that wants a visit, I mean, we just kind of coordinate these trips, and it's really rewarding to travel around and see the growth of our sport, and knowing that we had something to do with that, with our success last February, it's really fulfilling for me. And when I met with Rick a couple of weeks ago, just talking about the progress of the role and possibly doing this more long-term, I told him that there's very few times in your life when you feel like you're doing exactly what you should be doing and you are where you should be. And this role for me, really, it makes me feel that way. And winning the gold medal kind of was step one, I thought. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really mean anything unless you carry it on and keep that enthusiasm going for the games. And instead of seeing that drop off in energy and enthusiasm that we see from the Olympic bump, I think it's really important that we continue that momentum on right through into the next Olympics. And I think my role with USA Curling is going to help do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what are some of the things that you hear from people in clubs and, you know, fans when you're out and about? I mean, you're in the local Boston area right now. I mean, you started the week in Phoenix. Now you're out in Boston. You know, what are the things that you hear? I mean, from people coast to coast.
I think it's really important to people that they feel like they have a literal connection to the Olympic team and to the USCA.
Uh-huh.
On a personal level, it's great for me to be able to thank people for their support during the games. You know, every stop I have, I hear about the watch parties that people had for the gold medal game while we're out in Korea, and the stories that you get from people about how excited they were to watch and how they'll always remember where they were when the game happened. It's really meaningful, again, on a personal level, but just seeing the enthusiasm that these people have for the sport, you know, and coming from a curling hotbed in the Midwest, where Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, we've always had the most members, the most clubs. And now seeing that, you know, when I make these trips to states like California, Texas, Florida, the Carolinas, Arizona, that the people that are running these clubs are the same people that we have in the Midwest, the same really energetic, enthusiastic people that are trying to grow the sport. And it's no different in any part of the country. And it really makes you feel excited about the future of our sport in the United States. And the way that people are carrying that banner and the same energy that they bring to their club each and every day, to get to see that firsthand and to be able to thank them for all their support and let them know that, you know, USA Curling sees the effort that they're putting in and that we appreciate that if they need anything from us, you know, now they have, you know, they through me, and they always feel like they have somebody that will listen if they need anything.
So, you know, take us through just real quick. I know the days are wall to wall with stuff, but, like, you know, you mentioned just the hours and the time, you know, they've got you going every single place, no matter you came down here to Palmetto, you were in Charlotte, you're up in Boston. I mean, you've been all over the place. What are some of the things, like, you know, on a day-to-day basis that, you know, as part of your role going into schools, clinics, you know, what is a day like in this role for you?
It really depends on the club and the area. Uh-huh. I've done everything from meet and greets and open houses to learn to curl events to clinics for club members, a lot of junior events, the school visits. This trip I'm on right now, actually out in the Boston area, the Cape Cod area, visiting Cape Cod and Marlborough curling clubs. This is through the World Curling Federation too, so it's a separate tour where I make a couple of stops with Daryl L. of the World Curling Federation.
Oh yeah,
and the number of things that we line up, really, it's, you know, we try to pack the day as much as we possibly can. And right now we're in between school visit one and two of the day out in the Cape Cod area, and we had five yesterday, so I think we have eight total throughout the two-day span, and that's before we get to the on-ice stuff that we start tonight. Last night we did a rewatching of the gold medal game where I got to give commentary, which is always a lot of fun, give people insight into what we were thinking,
yep,
why we're playing the shots that we're playing, and the people at the Cape Cod Club are very knowledgeable about the sport, so it's cool to talk to people that, you know, you're not just, you know, holding their hand through the processes of the game. They're actually getting into the strategy of it at the same time, too. So there's a really wide range of curling aficionados and beginners, club members that we get to hit with these stops. And we also get to help the clubs with their membership growth too. When they do these open houses and learn to curls that I mentioned, we try to retain as many of those people as we can get in the door. And, you know, having an Olympic gold medalist at an event like that certainly makes a difference for these clubs. So, I mean, really it's whatever they want. It's one of those, you know, when they say jump, you say how high type of things.
Yep.
And we're happy to do that. And it's really important to that these clubs know that they have a helping hand in trying to get to that next level for membership or dedicated ice or whatever it is that they need.
All right, continuing on with Tyler George, you can follow him on Twitter at tgeorge1323. You know, now working in an ambassador role for USA Curling. And, you know, Ty, you were, I think, what, recently in Texas, maybe last week, with Toyota, one of the new sponsors to come on board with USA Curling. You know, they've done some other stuff with some of the other NGOs, you know, around the Olympic sports. But, you know, what does it mean having Toyota, you know, on board and, you know, the chance to go down there and work with those guys?
It's a major step for USA Curling. When Rick Patsky asked me to come down to go to their headquarters for their Olympic day, that's a really exciting thing for us. When corporate sponsors come in, that helps everybody.
Yep.
So, you know, just to be able to go down there and shake some hands and thank them for their support and see what Toyota is going to do for us forward and meet other Olympic athletes that are involved in the event. It's a really exciting thing. And I know Rick's really excited about the progress we've made with those guys and hopefully keeping them through the Olympic quad and beyond. And they're really energetic about what they can do for USA Curling too. And there's a lot of good people involved with that company. And I think this is going to be a long-term thing for us. And the more of those that we can get involved, then the better it's going to be for everybody involved with USA Curling.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You know, I've never asked you this as a friend, but I know listeners probably want to know, you know, and ask you all the time, when is Tyler George going to come back to the ice? Now, I know you're on the ice because, and I got to say congratulations to you, your sister Courtney, our guy Derek Benson, and then Jordan, who you guys qualify for the Mixed Nationals coming up here a little bit later this month in Denver. You know, but everybody, I'm sure you get asked, when will Tyler George, if and when, will he come back to, you know, elite curling? Is there a chance? If so, when might that happen?
Yeah, as of now, I'm still happy with retired Price. That's not the just the public answer.
Yeah.
If you ask me behind closed doors, I'd say the same thing.
I'm with you.
I get asked that at pretty much every school we stop at, too. Yeah. The kids always want to know if you're going to go for the next Olympics. And I actually had a girl stand up and point at me yesterday and say, I want you to go win the next Olympics, too. So I got a little pressure on me now from some of the school kids, but as of now, I'm happy where I'm at. If I decide I'm going to play again, at least for this Olympic run, I know that decision would probably have to come relatively soon. But like I said, I mean, when you feel like you're doing something really important and you're right where you need to be, you know, my role that I have with USA Curling right now, I think is more important than anything I can do on the ice. And as long as I continue to feel that way and people still want me to show up at these clubs for these appearances, then that's what I plan to do. But you just don't know with something like this. I mean, there's a reason why one day you wake up and you say, I got to get back out there. It's time.
Yep.
And that day hasn't come for me at this point. Even I can say when we played mixed, I didn't put a whole lot of time into the prep for it. But the morning I woke up for the first game, I was ready to beat somebody's butt. And so that switch turns real quick.
Yep.
But for the long haul, for training for the Olympics and everything, then that thought hasn't crossed my mind as of yet. Just with that feeling of wanting to be back out there and putting the effort in that I know would be necessary to play.
Yeah,
I've had a few nudges that direction, but I haven't fallen prey to them as of yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll keep you updated on that. If there's any breaking news on that, I promise you'll be the first to know.
I'm sure I will. All right, Tyler, before we let you go, I know we just got a couple more minutes as you're between stops here in Boston. But, you know, as a big sports fan like myself, you're a diehard, you know, certainly the Twin Cities and everything going on around the sports scene and landscape there. You know, the Wild, the Twins, the Wolves, everything, the Vikes. But, you know, the Wild and sitting in a nice playoff spot. The Wolves are, you know, trying to maybe find a way to backdoor themselves in maybe a 7 or 8 spot. But the Twins in spring training, man, are the Twins going to be the surprise team in Minnesota pro sports this year and make the playoffs?
Well, the great thing about coming off a season like they just had is expectations are pretty low.
Yeah.
But they play in a division that has three subpar teams below them. And the Indians have taken a step back from last year, too. So I mean, if there's a division where it'd be ripe for an opportunity like that, it would certainly be the AL Central. I got a quick shift over to hockey, too. You mentioned the Wild.
Yep.
My buddy Jason Zucker, who I've been fortunate enough to meet through the circles we run through,
yep.
I got to see him in Nashville when I was out there a couple weeks ago when they were playing. And he gave me another autograph stick for our charity event.
Cool.
At Duluth, the House of Hearts. And last year, the stick was the top fundraising item of anything that we had. And Jason's always a very charitable guy. He's well known for that in Minnesota. And he's a pillar of the community. So yep. He's made that donation again to help out our event. So thanks to Jason for that. And yeah, anybody that wants to get in any online donations for the, especially for the celebrity skins game that we play, the one part that's streamed, the one part we let the public see from that weekend, it happens Friday afternoon of March 22nd, but you can go to hohduluth.org and donate for who you want to see in the skins game. If you want to see me or any of the other 32 celebrity skips that we have in the event, all the money, of course, goes towards Project Joy, the Plies Families Foundation, to feed hungry kids in the Duluth area. Last year raised enough money to feed every kid in the program for 5 months.
Wow.
So we're hoping to get up to that level again, and any donations that we can get to the website, we surely appreciate it.
Yeah, you steal my thunders. That was the segue, my last question for you about
how to make sure we got to it. Yeah.
I mean, you're a pro in so many ways, Tyler George, but you know, that is something that as we get ready to let you go, that is the House of Hearts is a project, or certainly Project Joy. It's an event, it's something that so many people, yourself, John, so many people around Duluth and Minnesota curling, and you know, it attracts people from area. It's something so many people are passionate about and look forward to every single spring.
Yeah, no question. The skips that are invited to it enjoy it just as much as the participants. There's a reason why we call it Christmas in March. but everything that we put up on Twitter, too, you see, we hashtag it for the kids.
You know,
and that's the important part. We get to see the direct results of what we do, and it's just such a meaningful thing for everybody involved in the event. Saturday night's always the biggest tearjerker of the year, with the check presentation and the Plies family coming up front. And, we're really excited for it. Thanks for putting up with me this morning, just in between the stops here. I'm kind of all over the map and just trying to put sentences together at this point. So talking to you after talking to the school kids, it's a little different conversation, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, Tyler. Appreciate a few minutes there. I think the interesting thing about House of Hearts is we don't get a lot of the stories that come out of that weekend. So those things stay in Duluth. But look, man, we'll let you go.
That's by design.
I hear it. Look, thanks so much for a few minutes here, Tyler. It's always great to catch up with you, man. Can't wait to see you again soon.
No problem, brother. Thanks, Bryce. We'll talk to you, man.
There you go. Tyler George right there, 2018 U.S. Olympian and gold medalist. Appreciate a few minutes with Ty as he's out and about there making another stop in the greater Boston area out on the Cape Cod swing of things out there to the east of Boston. So just once again, thanks to Tyler. When we come back, Joe and I will wrap this thing up right here on episode 20 of the Extra Extra Podcast with the 12th in Sports Network. All right, episode 20, we are cooking right along and cooking into our final segment here as I'm Price Atkinson, and that is the Godfather himself, Joe Calabrese, back. Appreciate Tyler George in a few minutes with him, getting to catch up on what he's doing, crisscrossing and traveling the country as he's out west right now, enjoying some fun in the sun in Arizona. But, you know, Joe, you and I were talking just a couple minutes ago, and something we also wanted to hit on, too, wanted to save it for the closing segment. One of the other big events going on right now over in Russia, the Winter World University Games, Team Stopera with a sub, Ben Richardson out, Alex Svensson in. Team USA, they had a rough outing over there. I believe you told me they finished 3-6, but, a tough way for Team Stopera and those guys really to finish out a year that had a lot of promise. Is Andrew's going to age out and the other three will still stay where they are. But the Winter World University Games, I saw some really cool pictures. It did look like those guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting event. There's certainly a pretty big mix of the types of players that are super competitive type players, and then ones that maybe are not from countries that maybe are not as big curling powers. And even on the women's side, there wasn't even a Team USA represented. So on the men's side, though, yeah, they finished 3-6. They beat Russia, Norway, and the UK, and had a number of losses sort of strung together in the middle that kind of doomed their fate. But you know, I think there's a lot of good things to be said for this team. Stopera himself, hopefully he'll be part of a men's team in the not too distant future, and we'll be shaking things up at nationals and worlds soon to come.
All right. Also, as we are talking right now, the club nationals, Joe, going on right now in Lakeville, Minnesota. A couple familiar names, Ann Swisshelm competing there, but things are going on straight through the week. Give me a little bit of update and our listeners what's going on there.
Yeah, take a look quickly at the women's side. And you talked about Arizona. There's two teams from Arizona. They're both 2-1.
Yep.
The only team doing better than them is we're recording this on Monday. So Duluth at 3-0. So, you know, the women's side is real interesting. Ann Swisshelm at 2-1. A lot of teams with winning records there. You know, the GNCC rep, Patricia Hefner, yet to get a win. But, you know, I feel those wins are right around the corner for them. Over on the men's side, Ivo Petrov from the GNCC, 2-1. Bob LeClaire, 2-1 from Arizona. There's something in the water in Arizona, it seems like, for this club nationals. And then Wisconsin, Dan Shaley, 3-1. So those are your top teams right now. Mark Wilmert at 2-1. Really, the only team that's looking for a win is out in Seattle, John Shoesmith. So things could get bunched up there, and we may see some tiebreakers. You never know.
Yeah, good to see Ryan Berg skipping the Fargo-Moorhead team. They're 2-2, but yeah, that's got a ways to go early in the week at the club nationals there in Lakeville, Minnesota. Joe, another championship getting ready to get going this weekend, the under-18 national championship going to be held at the Chaska Curling Club. And, you know, how about Sam Strauss? Boy, he's made the championship circuit, or will have made the championship circuit, pretty much complete after he skips his team this weekend there in Chaska.
Yeah, you know, everybody loved the Sam Strauss rink when they were at Nationals. Certainly we sort of know that team is the team that had the player with the mitt in his mouth. You know, they learned a lot there, and I would certainly suspect that they're going to be one of the favorites going into this event. You know, and then you've got Delaney Strauss on the women's side. So real interesting to sort of see how that kind of works itself out.
Yeah, if you want to take a poll right now on the USA Curling site, usacurl.org, online at their website, you can vote on which team you think will win the boys and girls division of under 18 nationals. And no shock right now, looks like Sam Strauss right now is a runaway winner at over 40%, Joe, to the pick to win. But, you know, certainly good luck to all the teams that are going to be playing there in Chaska this weekend. The biggie, I guess, really coming up, you know, starting this weekend is where I'm going to be headed over to, and that's over in Silkeborg, Denmark, Joe, and that's going to be the 2019 Women's World Curling Championship, and that's going to see Team USA's Jamie Sinclair is going to be the representative for the Stars and Stripes in a 13-team field. I think probably on paper, I would certainly go and probably put a co-favorite maybe with Anna Hasselberg from Sweden, and then maybe Chelsea Carey, you know, who won the Scotties from Canada. You can never count the Canadians out. You know, and then I don't think there's any way to count out Silvana Tiranzoni, who's going to be skipping the team from Switzerland. Still, what's going to be an outstanding event. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention also Sophie Jackson, who upset Eve Muirhead in the Scottish Nationals. They will be representing Scotland. And, of course, Minji Kim from Korea, one of the top teams in the world, but just still a junior team, if you can even believe that. But going to be a big event over in Silkeborg, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I definitely would look at that Sophie Jackson rank as one to watch out for. I definitely think that they're peaking at the right time, and you never know what might happen. But I think you've broken that down pretty well. I mean, certainly a stacked group of teams here heading into Women's Worlds, as you would expect.
Yep, Alina Kovaleva is going to be skipping the team from Russia. Here's one thing I don't get. I still don't understand how and why Russia does their, you know, their national this way, but they basically do a best of seven That's how they do it. It's basically a best of seven head to head, and they beat Anna Sidorova, did Alina Kovaleva's rink. So that's how they got to national. Certainly, I just think it's an odd way to do it. Chinese will be a team that you never know what the Chinese might bring. I'm not really familiar with this team from China who's going to be playing. It's going to be her first time skipping Ru Wang. Madeline DuPont's another player who's been around for a long time and certainly playing for the host country of Denmark in her 11th World Championship appearance. I wouldn't necessarily count out the home team when it comes to Denmark and Madeline DuPont, the kind of experience she's had either, Joe.
Yeah, I don't. There's certainly something to be said for home ice advantage. I certainly know that playing in events in my home club always makes me feel more comfortable, and I would suspect that playing in her home country is going to make her feel just as comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe, I guess before we get out of here, real quick, I don't know if you got a couple parting shots, but you know, I've seen your Buffalo Bills just in the news.
I knew this was coming up.
You know, was it the shortest career ever for a Buffalo Bill that Antonio Brown was maybe there for a cup of coffee?
It's so funny that you mentioned this, because when about a week ago, I started thinking, well, geez, you know, maybe they're so desperate they would trade him to Buffalo. And, you know, I think they were willing to do it. I just don't think Brown was willing to come. Now we made up for a price. I don't know if you saw this today, but we signed Frank Gore. I mean, 34-year-old running back Frank Gore to a one-year, $2 million contract. I don't know how anybody's going to compete with that.
No, the oldest running back in the league or the most experienced running back in the league?
We have the two oldest running backs in the league, I think, at this point. We have LeSean McCoy and we've got Frank Gore.
Wow. Well, you know, you got to do something when you're a bottom feeder and you're trying to get back to the playoffs. You know,
it's true.
Still, I mean, better than my Carolina Panthers, who aren't going to do a single thing. And I guess really when you come out of free agency and you look at this thing, any big surprises, I guess, overall?
I guess Jacksonville picking up, a quarterback from
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, thank you. $22 million for a year for Nick Foles. Like, I'm going to start training my son to start throwing a football, because, like, Nick Foles ain't that good. And $22 million, that's a lot of money. So, Joseph, start picking up that football. We're going to bring you out in the driveway pretty soon.
All right, Joe, we'll go ahead and get out of here. Get out of here a little bit early. Again, appreciate Tyler George joining us in the last segment. And it's good to get back on the air with you and do another The Extra Extra In podcast. Again, episode 20. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, make sure you go back. Make sure you subscribe. Go to the Apple iTunes app on your smartphone. Just search Extra Extra In. You will find us. If you're an Android user, you can use the Stitcher or Google Play app. Multitudes of different ways that you can listen to us. You can just go right there on your desktop, tesn.us/podcast, Joe. Many, many ways that you can listen to us every week. But with this episode number 20 in the books, there's a lot of content if you want to wet your whistle and go back and catch some of the stuff we've done previously already this year. And what we'll have coming up is, again, as I mentioned, I'll be over in Denmark and I'm going to bring a couple podcasts. They might be a little bit shorter, might be a little bit tighter, but bring you some of the kind of the feel, what's going on over there at the Women's World Championships before the attention turns to Lethbridge in the Men's World Championships a couple weeks after that, Joe. But, you know, always good to do this with you every week. It's something I look forward to. I hope our listeners enjoy it, Joe. And certainly if you, our listeners, like what we do, give us a rating. When you go to the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, give us 4, give us whatever you like. It just makes it easier for others to find us when you give us a rating and a review right there. But, Joe, it's always good to do it with you, my friend.
Absolutely, Price. Thanks so much, and safe travels out there. Make sure that you ask Madeline DuPont about the Frank Gore signing. It's important to me. I need to know her opinion about that.
I will definitely make sure she gives me an A, B, C, or D grade. I don't think she'll go F, because she won't know. You can't grade an F if you don't know anything about the team you're talking about. But we'll get to, I will make sure to get some sound for next week's podcast. But that'll do it here. Appreciate everybody listening. Episode 20 in the books. We will see you next week right here on the Extra Extra Podcast with the 12th In Sports Network.
Thanks for being with us on this edition of the Extra Extra In Podcast with Price Atkinson and Joe Calabrese. Follow the 12th In Sports Network crew on Twitter and Facebook to stay up on our weekly contests, giveaways, guests, and for upcoming episodes of the Extra Extra In podcast.